People are hard to love. Oh, not you. In all sincerity, I've only been here a few days, and I know already that you are highly lovable. And not me. Just stick around a little while, and you'll see that I'm extraordinarily lovable. Other people are hard to love. People, as the saying goes, are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. People are power-hungry, controlling, intolerant, and insensitive. Even otherwise likable people make mistakes that cut to the core and lash out in anger with words that, like sticks and stones, hurt very much. People, even those we want to love, are hard to love. I'm convinced that society is trending away from loving people. We live in an us versus them, with us or against us culture in which we sort ourselves into factions based on our politics and our beliefs. It feels very much like we are primed to find fault in others, to take offense at those who hold different opinions, and to withdraw into a comfort zone of those who agree with us. Case in point, Keziah Dom, a Utah teenager, last week wore a kipi, a traditional Chinese dress, to her senior prom. Keziah isn't Asian. She chose the dress because she loves Chinese culture, and she wanted to showcase that part of herself at the prom. Hours after tweeting a selfie from the dance, this 18-year-old girl was accused of cultural appropriation, racism, and embodying a system that empowers white people. She was attacked because she wore a dress. The Asian American man, whose unconstructively critical tweet went viral, was also attacked. He's been vilified for sharing his concern with her choice. People are hard to love. Our culture seems intent on making it harder. Indulge me another example. This past week, an African-American friend of mine, fed up with racist remarks from entertainers, politicians, educators, corporate executives, the list goes on, made vitriolic posts, comments on a post on social media, calling for an end to all apologies. "I'm sorry," he posted. "I'm sick of hearing it. You hurt people willfully and intentionally. With calculated precision, you use your power to victimize those less powerful." After setting aside my umbrage at what I perceived to be an unfair use of the royal you, I came to understand how "I'm sorry" sounds to the black community an awful lot like thoughts and prayers sound to those distressed by violence in our world. "I'm sorry" sounds a lot like something we could say when we don't actually intend to act any differently. And yet, if we decide that we will no longer accept apologies from people who are hard to love, then our prospects for meaningful relationship with one another are pretty bleak. "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete," says Jesus. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." You know the tune, right? "This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full." It sounds so simple when you jazz it up with a snazzy little tune. The Beatles simplified it even more. All you need is love, love. Love is all you need. It's easy, they say. Friends, the Beatles lied. It's not easy. People are hard to love. In reflecting on Jesus' words this week, I had to tell you, I hit a wall. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Reading that sentence this week, I couldn't help but think of all the people that it's hard for me to love. And the minute I thought of that list of people and held up the thoughts of my heart about them in the light of Christ's words, I ran headfirst into my own sinfulness, my failure to love others as Christ loves me. How do I preach on this text when I don't seem to be able to live it myself? Should I walk away? Just confess that I'm no better at this love commandment than anybody else and give up? That was my challenge all week long. And then I picked up a collection of sermons from Monsignor Don Fisher, a local Dallas Catholic priest whose reflections have been helpful to me. He reminded me that I'd fallen into that same old spiritual trap again, of misunderstanding my relationship with God as somehow based on my performance. You know this one, right? It goes like this. If I'm not perfect, if I don't love everyone perfectly as Christ loves me, then I am not worthy to be in God's service. This isn't what Jesus wants us to hear from our text today. And yet, our translation leads us to this misunderstanding pretty frequently. This is my commandment, Jesus says. And Fisher observes that when someone says, I command you to do this, well, you're left with no choice, right? It's like an order, and we don't disobey an order, especially one from God. The trouble is, love, by its very nature, can only be free. So, if love is a free act by its very nature, and no one can force me to love someone else, then this translation that says, this is my commandment, that you love one another, is missing something that is essential to Jesus' message. And so, it's been a while, but I pulled out my Greek New Testament, and I dusted it off. I thought, let's have a look and see what John wrote. And this word that gets translated commandment, entole, it's a combination of two words. En, in, right? Which in used this way, when it's combined like that with another word, really means it intensifies whatever's coming after it. So in, telos. Telos refers to the end goal or the objective of something, the natural conclusion, the fullness. So entole literally translates something like in the end. Just about every translation you pick up that's in English is going to render that word commandment. This is my commandment. But that word ringing in our ears misses Jesus' focus. An entole is something focused on a particular end or goal, not a commandment, an order for its own sake. This is the longing of my heart, says Jesus, the goal toward which I ask you to press, that you love one another as I love you. And Jesus continues by explaining why he has this goal. I give you this entole. I ask you to move toward this end for two reasons. So that my joy may be in you, and so that your joy may be complete. Far from ordering us to do what we cannot do, Jesus is calling us to move joyfully and completely into relationship with God and one another. And still, people are so hard to love. So how do we do it? How do we love those that just seem so unlovable? Fortunately, Jesus helps us out a little bit. First, Jesus says, move in toward God. Today's reading begins, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. The overwhelming witness of John's gospel is that God is deeply, passionately, over the moon in love with us. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends, Jesus continues. This is the way in which God loves the world, that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life abiding in the love of God. That's the first part of Jesus' telos, his end game. First, Jesus says, get this. Really get this, that God loves you perfectly even though you've done absolutely nothing to deserve it. Abide here. Camp out here in God's big, big love for you. This is what Jesus meant last week when he said, just as the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm pretty sure that's why I still have that list of people who I want to think are too hard to love. I'm pretty sure I'm not really camping out in God's big, big love for me. But it's only when we do that, only when we let God's love wash into our hearts and souls and minds until we are overflowing, does the second part of Jesus tell us, Jesus' goal, even approach anything that we might call simple. Once we abide in God's love, God's goal is that we would become instruments of that love to share it with one another. Jesus promises, if you keep my commandments, my entoles, you will abide in my love. You will. You hear that? You will. Here, it's not a command. It's a statement of fact. Once God's freely given, unearned, undeserved love surrounds us and permeates us, we will see people with God's eyes, and we will love them with God's love. This is what John is saying in today's epistle reading. Everyone who believes Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. To love God is to love all God's children. Now, just as loving God requires us to move in toward God, to abide in God, so loving one another requires us to move in toward others. As Brené Brown puts it, people are hard to hate close up. Move in. That's how I know that you are not hard to love. I'm moving in. Move in toward me, and you will find that I'm incredibly lovable. You will. But I'll warn you as Christ warns you. When we move in toward others, we not only experience love, we experience death. At the very least, when we move in toward others, we die to ourselves, to our desire to get what we want when we want it, to our need to be right every time, to our craving for affirmation. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So move in, abide with God, and love people, even those ones who are hard to love. Let us pray. O God, you've prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you that we may love one another as you love us, and obtain your promises which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.